God is good, isn't he?
All the time.
God is good. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians 3. And I was struggling in the middle of service during offering time. There was something that felt like I was supposed to share, and it wasn't coming to me at that time. And then he brought it back to me. Last night, before I was going to sleep, I was sensed the trouble in my spirit, and then this morning when I woke up, it was sensing the same thing and couldn't quite put my finger on it, and still don't know what precisely it is, but I think it might have to do with one of you that is watching this morning. There is something that's going on with you that is of a troubling nature, and I hope that you would open your hearts to hear what maybe God is going to reveal to you, whether it's coming through the message or it's directly to you from the Holy Spirit. But I feel like there's somebody that's troubled, and actually I think the Holy Spirit might just in part just want you to know that he knows that you're troubled, and he's going to see you through that. And if that's you, just feel free to communicate with me, and I'd be glad to talk with you and walk you through that. But the Lord knows that you're struggling with that. Ephesians 3, if you would turn there with me as we're continuing our series through Ephesians on Strengthen Us. Ephesians 3, we're going to look at the first 13 verses of that chapter. And in my house, we have a saying that we will say at times, and we'll say, stay in your lane, because sometimes our children want to take responsibility for something that they shouldn't. And part of it is because they create problems by trying to take care of it, or when they take off and go do something, they go chasing after. We want them to be at the table, and one leaves, and the other leaves the chase after that child, and now we have two gone, and so we say, "Stay in your lane." And all of us have assignments in life, things that we need to take care of. That if one person's not doing their assignment, then the whole thing kind of falls apart. Well, a couple weeks ago, we had a field mouse had gotten into our house and decided to show itself around somewhere around 8:30 in the morning. A little bit before that, I had went downstairs to start my devotional reading, and then before I knew it, it wasn't too long after that I heard Heather saying, "Get up here, get up here!" And I went up there to discover there's a mouse climbing. We have a staircase, and we have, by our bedroom, there's a drop-off that probably is about 6 feet down. At the other end is the starting of the steps. And this mouse had gotten over there, and my youngest was asleep in my room, and I was trying to make sure not to scare that mouse into my room. Well, he went into my room anyway. So I sat down at the top of the steps waiting for him to come out, really not knowing what I was going to do when he came out, but waiting for him to come out. He comes out. And I angled myself slowly over there to make sure he wouldn't want to go back into the room. And then before I know it, he took a dive off that ledge 6 feet down to the steps below. He was fine. Don't worry. Don't call PETA on us or anything. He was okay. But he stayed right at the steps, and so we needed a coordinated effort to make sure to get this mouse out of the house. So I got my son to empty a garbage can and put the garbage can just beneath the step that he was on. He was hiding beneath some clothes that was sitting there on the step. And then I had to get Heather to get a broom and hold it on the other side so that he wouldn't try to jump off the steps on the side, so he was cornered in the wall. And then eventually he got into the trash can, and my children thought we had a new pet. But instead, me and my two daughters, we walked them down the road and into the cemetery that's near our neighbor that we usually walk through, and we released them into the wild. And we wouldn't have got them out of the house if Heather would have decided not to hold the broom. She would have decided she was going to help with the garbage can. He might have jumped off. If Daquan decided he wanted to help with the broom and not hold the garbage can anymore, we might not have gotten that mouse out of the house. And so each person needed to do their own particular assignment, no matter how important they felt it was, in order to get that mouse out of the house. Now, there was another task that was to be had a couple weeks ago, and that was when my wife had to cut my hair for the first time, because as you know, you can't really go to a barber anywhere to get your hair cut. So her assignment was to cut my hair. My children's assignment was to do nothing, but they thought that their assignment was that they stood there while she was cutting, chanting, "Shave him bald, shave him bald," to which they just made my heart rate go up and my whole neck tense up, and oh no. As you can see, she did not shave me bald. Thankfully, she stayed in her lane and did not follow their their advice. On another occasion, my wife was, actually a couple of us were sitting at the kitchen table, and the table is a little loose, so it wobbles a little bit, and Heather had a cup full of coffee on the table. And if Maria were to lean at all on that table, it would wobble and it would spill the coffee. So Maria's only assignment was to not lean on the table. But she kept leaning on the table anyway, and the coffee would keep spilling everywhere, to eventually we had to just send her away somewhere, go find another mouse or something. But her assignment, sometimes your assignment in life is to just not do something. And her assignment was just don't touch the table. And sometimes our life assignment is just don't do that. And when we speak about our assignment and the things that we're assigned to do in life, it makes me think of the question that surfaces in most of our lives at some point. It's common for it to surface in late adolescence. It's common for it to surface in that time of that midlife crisis period of your life. But it surfaces throughout our lives, and that is, why was I born? Why is it that I exist? Was it just simply to fulfill? Was it just simply happenstance? Was it just simply because two people loved each other and conceived, and there I am? Why do I exist? And not only why do I exist, but why did I exist in the particular context that I was in? Why was I born into the family I was born into? Why did I live through the experiences that I had? Why did I suffer the things I suffered? Why did I receive the blessings and the good things that I have had? Why did I have the road that I traveled on? And then beyond that, why do I have the interests that I have? Why do I have the behavioristics that I have? Not just, we're not talking about sinful things, we're talking about neutral things. Why do I behave the way I do? Why do I focus on, why do I have interest in the things that I have interest in? Why am I like this? And why have I walked down this road? Is it just happenstance, or is there a purpose to the design that God has for us? And I believe that God has a unique calling just for you that nobody else could fulfill, and it's built upon the framework of all your context of your history and the things you've walked through and the wiring that God has given you. You have an assignment that God has for you, and we've been calling upon God to strengthen us through Ephesians. And the climax we'll see when we get to chapter 6, I believe it's in verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The result of Ephesians is that we would be strong individuals within Jesus Christ. And how do we gain that strength? And when you're facing stress and difficulty and uncertainty in life, as all of us are facing, and this is reality throughout life, sometimes it's isolated to us, sometimes it's a widespread experience. But when we're facing those scenarios, how do I have courage to keep going and doing the things that God calls me to do? How do I have that courage, and how do I know what I'm supposed to do? And this strengthening we see so far in Ephesians is built upon the first chapter, that God has so many things at our disposal to enable us to do what God has called us to do, to have the refreshing and the joy and the peace and the comfort and the power. All of that is available to us. If we are in Christ, if we are in the right position before God, then that is there for us to move forward, to find fulfillment, satisfaction, intimacy with the Lord, to completeness, an alleviation of our conscience. All of that is there if we walk into that right posture. The salvation that he gives us is beyond just the eternal destiny of heaven that we'll be headed to. It impacts us in this life today if we truly understand the nature of this salvation. And then as we continue on that journey, we have to step into the doors of the church. And listen, you can participate in the body of Christ without actually being physically in the building with us this morning. You don't have to just watch. Like I said, you can communicate with each other. You can text each other. You don't have to just do it on Sunday. You could be ministering to each other throughout the week. Just because we're not in a service does not mean you don't have access to one another. So continue to minister and do things for one another in the body of Christ and stay connected. And in there, we find that fulfillment and that strength. And then that leads us where we land today in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Verse 3. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. Verse 8. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom, notice that statement, that's a review from last week. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory. So how do I find courage to keep moving on? And how do I go on this glory journey? Not that God is going to glorify us, but that he's going to give us that glorious experience of the life in the Holy Spirit and all that he has for us. And how do I have that? And he mentions in verse 13, he says, so I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Now, there's a couple of angles I could have taken with this passage this morning, because there's a lot in there. Some of what's in there is continuing to explain the nature of the gospel and this whole mysterious experience of how in the Old Testament there is this more isolated, Jew-centered approach to the promises of God and what was ahead, and yet now somehow what was so secluded has now been opened up where we are now the recipients of a number of the promises that are there. But he is really just with that continuing on what he told us in chapter 2, maybe some in chapter 1. But the thing I noticed in here is, why is it that Paul is emphasizing his unique calling? He's telling them, I have this calling. I have been designed. I have been doing this stuff that God wants me to do for certain reasons. And in doing those things, and he mentions in here that he's not sure that they know about the sufferings that he is encountering for on their behalf. But he says, the stuff I'm doing and the stuff I'm experiencing in my calling, I don't want you to lose heart over that. I'm telling you the nature of it so that you don't lose heart and so that you will know that this is all for your glory. So what is for my glory? What is for me not losing heart? It is this calling that Paul is describing here, which in context is unique to him. And I believe that we encounter this calling often, where someone fulfills their calling by ministering to me, and that gives me encouragement and gives me courage and boldness to move forward, that provides for me the glories of what God has for me because of the way they've opened my eyes, the way they've touched me, because they fulfilled the assignment that God has for me. So sometimes we receive that by someone fulfilling their calling in my direction. Sometimes we find that by us fulfilling the calling that God has for us as well. And so, but how do I know that? How do I know what calling God has for me, and how do I pursue that calling? Because I'm telling you that there is a glorious experience with God like none other when you realize what God is assigning you to do and you fulfill it. There is an intimacy that comes with that. When you think about the first century church and you think of the Acts church and God doing so many amazing things through them, he was doing it while the disciples were fulfilling what God called them to do. God wants to load you with power when you're doing what he's called you to do. God wants you to have the intimacy and the fullness that he has for you when you're doing the assignment that he has for you. But I can't do that if I don't know what it is. And I can't do that if I don't know how to go about doing it. Because sometimes I can see it, I can recognize the calling, but I don't know what to do with this calling. So what is it that I need to know what to do and how to do it? We can do that by recognizing some key ingredients that Paul spells out here in his own calling. The first is, verse 1, he says, for this reason. He's linking to chapter 2, and he's also linking into what he's going to say here because he repeats some of chapter 2, that the context of the Gentiles were not in, and they needed to be in. They needed to be saved, and there was some confusion on how God felt towards Gentiles, and there was a revelation that needed to be had, and somebody needed to communicate that to them for them to be able to get in. So there was a need. There was a need that was recognized. And the first step to knowing your calling is to identify the need. And sometimes because of spiritual blindness, we don't see any needs. So if you say, well, I don't see any needs around me, well, then you, first of all, you might be sleeping or hiding as a recluse somewhere. But most of us see needs. I mean, you're not seeing needs, ask the Lord to show needs to you. But most of us see needs around us. Usually we show that when we complain. You know, why isn't this happening? Or why is this happening this way? And we recognize that there's a need. And many of you know that when you come to me and say, Pastor, I think we should be doing so-and-so, that I often will say, I think that's a great idea for you to do. And that's not because I'm trying to get out of doing things, but it's because I recognize the nature of the call. That most of the time, if you see that there is a need, it's because God is showing it to you so that you will meet that need. Now, that's not always the case, but many times if you're seeing the need, it's because God is calling you to address that need. But there's a second ingredient I need to know what God is calling me to do, and that is in verse 7, he mentions, of this gospel I was made a minister. He was chosen for the sake of communicating this gospel. And also, verse 3, this mystery made known to me by revelation. And he mentions in verse 4, my insight into the mystery of Christ. And I think somewhere in here he mentions that if you pay attention, you will see how insightful I am about this whole concept. God had revealed insightful things to Paul that when he saw the need that the Gentiles needed in, and he realized that he understood how they could get in, it was not only that he saw the need, but he recognized that within him, he had been given the resources to meet that need. And so I need to first pay attention to what I'm seeing, what needs I'm seeing. And secondly, I need to find the resource that is within me that is given by God. So if you see a need, start asking the question, is it me? Am I supposed to be the person that's supposed to do something about that need? And then, if it is possibly me, do I have the capacity to meet that need? And if you're seeing it, the need, and you're seeing that you have the capacity to meet the need, you might have found a match that you are the one that's to do something about that. This is your assignment. And in case you don't know this, most of us have many assignments in life. It's not that we just have one thing that we're called to fulfill. There are many things that we're called to fulfill throughout our lifetime. And the only way we can see it is if we're paying attention. And sometimes you come to me saying, I think that this should be done. And it's not the event itself that's the need. It's not the ministry that is the need. It's what the ministry or the event is going to address. That is what the need is. And so sometimes you just need to look a little deeper to see, what is it I'm seeing? What is the need I'm seeing? And sometimes God wants to fulfill it with the idea that you had. Sometimes he wants you to think out of the box and think of another way to fulfill that need. So the first two ingredients have to do with me coming to know what my assignment is. Now, what do I do when I see that I have an assignment before me? Verse 1, Paul says, he is a prisoner on your behalf or on behalf of you. In verse 2, he mentions again that this was for you. The reason why Paul had an assignment was to benefit others. And we need to remember that when we see that we have an assignment from God, we need to remember this is for them. This is to their benefit. This isn't for me. Though I might find fulfillment in this, I might find some satisfaction in this, this might make me grow, this might make me encounter God more fully, but in the end, this isn't really for me. This is for the person that I'm doing this for, and I have to remember this isn't about me, this is about others. Then verse 2, he mentions the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. This stewardship, this responsibility, I am responsible to do something about that. And I don't know about you, have you ever looked at a problem and thought, that's a problem, someone should do something about that, and then you don't do anything about it? You know, and you just keep waiting for somebody to fix it and it never gets fixed? You know, at some point we need to recognize that I'm the responsible one. I'm the one that sees that it's a problem. I'm the one that God has given some idea on how to fix it. So I need to be the one to do something about it. And so sometimes we just need to start doing things. Many times when it comes to God's calling, we kind of pull the Moses thing. We see that there's a need. We see that that's something that needs to happen. Then we just start to say, well, I don't have this. I'm not capable. I don't have that. And besides, and we start giving all the excuses of why I shouldn't go in there and do that. And many times the reason why things don't happen and things don't take place is because people just sit on their hands and say, I don't know. Maybe someone else should do that. No, when you see the need and you recognize that God has given you the capacity to do something about that need, then remember it's for others and then begin to recognize that this is your responsibility to do something. Verse 5, he mentions that he does this calling by the Spirit. Verse 7, by the working of his power. I need to rely on the Spirit's ability in order to fulfill this calling. And sometimes you have skills and you don't feel any bit of insecurity about doing the task, but there are other times, I don't know if you're like me, that you've encountered scenarios where you see what needs to be done, you realize that God is drawing you to do something about that, but you think, I can't do this. I don't have the boldness to do it. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the history to do it. I don't have the clout or the stature to do it. I don't have the stuff to do it. And listen, it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. And so in that moment, I just need to step back and say, all right, Lord, you're going to have to do this through me. And I'm going to step out in faith just like Peter. Peter couldn't walk on water. He can't walk on water. Unless the Holy Spirit, at the guidance of Jesus, is enabling him to do that, then he can walk on water. But he has to have the Spirit doing the work in order for him to do it. And that Spirit, that's why it's so important for us to maintain a healthy prayer life, because we access the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives through our connection with him, and I have to keep that in order to be able to do the calling that God has for me. So I want to remember that it's for others. I want to recognize this is my responsibility. I want to rely on the Spirit's ability. Fourthly, verse 7 again, I was made a minister according to the gift. Your calling is a gift, though sometimes you might see it more as a burden. You know, great, now I have to be the one to take care of this. You know, I guess I'm the only one here, I'm the only one that knows how to fix this, so I'm going to do it. And you kind of see it as almost with a chip on your shoulder, not realizing that, like we were saying before, the context of your life, God designed it so that you would have the opportunity to do this. The tendencies that you have, this moment that you're standing in, this time that you're standing in, God has orchestrated all of this so that you would get the privilege of doing His work. It's not a burden, although it is to some extent. Jesus says to take my yoke or my burden upon you, but He then clarifies that His burden, His yoke is easy and light. It's not to be this thing that is to be complained about. It is a gift. And sometimes you just don't realize the ways in which it is a gift. Because if you fulfill these assignments, if you ever have fulfilled these assignments and did it with a good heart and did it following the leading of the Spirit and did it out of a desire to please the Lord, when you got to the other side, you realized why it was a gift. The joy that comes from doing that, the fulfillment, the, wow, you did that through me, God, encounter, that's the gift. to you by fulfilling that calling, but I don't get that if I don't push through to do it and get to the other side. So what are all the things that you could be doing for the Lord that you're missing out on the gifts God has for you because you're afraid, because you don't want to, because the flesh has gotten a hold of you, because you're self-seeking instead of being focused on others? There are things that God uniquely designed you for that nobody else can quite do it the same way as you. And you have a responsibility. You have to rely on the Spirit. You have a calling that results in a gift. Verse 7 again. And this gift, the gift of God's grace, which was given to me. I need to understand how I received this gift. You didn't receive this gift because you got trained. You didn't receive this gift because you got good enough at something. You didn't receive this gift because you're somebody. You know, you're amazing. You didn't receive this gift because you polished things up, because you worked yourself up to it. You received this grace or this gift because God was gracious enough to let you have it. You didn't deserve it. You're not as great as you think you are. But there is God saying, guess what? I'm going to give you a moment of glory. I'm going to give you a moment of boldness and courage. I'm going to give you a moment in which you can make a difference. And you could not do that otherwise by my Holy Spirit and by the things that I'm doing and the way that I set you up for this. Have you ever set somebody up to succeed and then when they succeeded, they thought that they did it all by themselves? You see, God is setting you up to succeed all the time. Even when you mess things up, even when you blow it, even when you kind of fell apart, God is still in the midst of that, preparing to set you up for another moment of glory, another moment of satisfaction, another moment of impact. And all you have to do is just take it because it's there for the taking because God is gracious to you. Not because you earned it, not because you got yourself all pulled together, but because God is gracious to let you have that gift. And how many times is that gift right before us and we don't take it because we're afraid? We don't feel we're worthy to walk into that? It doesn't matter whether you're worthy. It's grace is the reason why I can embrace that calling. There is glory, a glorious experience for you on the other end of you saying, yes, Jesus, I'm going to do that. And I want you, God wants you to have that. And you can pray and spend time in the Lord's presence. You can study Scripture. You can get your heart right. You can get involved in the church, the body of Christ. You can understand salvation and theology and still not do the things that God has called you to do. And you're missing something. You are missing something that God is waiting for you to encounter. And not to mention all the people that are waiting on you to say yes, they're missing on something. Oh, I plead with you that you will come to know and pursue the calling that God has for your life. And again, you might think you're completely insignificant and that your life was an accident. And I'm telling you, you're wrong. God formed you in the womb with every intention to make amazing things happen out of your life. Not because you're something special on your own right, because you're His creation. And even when you blew it and messed so many things up or failed to act, God is still, whether you're 18, whether you're 25, whether you're 48, whether you're 90 years old, whether you failed your entire life, if you're still alive, God has a calling for you, and there are amazing things on the other end of that calling. But how do I know it? How do I know what that is? And how do I pursue it? I pursue it by remembering that this is for others, recognizing this is my responsibility, relying on the enabling power. Oh, I'm so thankful for the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. By owning this as a gift and by understanding how I received it. Lastly, verse 8, Paul says, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. I want you to understand who just said that. Who just said, I'm the very least of all of them? Paul said that. Do you know who Paul is? Paul, who wrote a good amount of the New Testament. Paul's writing Scripture, God's Word to us. And that man is saying, I'm the least. Paul, the man who God did many miracles through, who preached things that even Peter would write and say, boy, he writes deep stuff. I can't even understand some of the stuff he writes and the stuff that he understands. That's the guy who said, I'm the least of. The guy who started almost every church that spread throughout the Roman Empire in the first century. He had his hand on it. That guy who was just tearing up the whole Roman Empire for Jesus, that guy steps back and says, I'm the least of the people that are involved in this, the least. And so the last step of this, or the ingredient to pursue this, is to know your place. Know your place. Just because you accomplished something doesn't make you somebody. Just because you succeeded, because that's the thing. If you begin to go on this journey of doing what God is calling you to do, you will find that the enemy will show up trying to make you arrogant because of what happens. And you didn't do any of it. Not a bit of it. You just said yes. And just like Sean on Tuesday night in our spiritual strategy course mentioned, as he drums here, if these drumsticks, is it okay if I touch these? Although you need to wipe them before you use them. It should be just like these drumsticks standing up after Sean drummed for worship and said, wow, look at the amazing thing I did. Did you hear that beat that I was doing? That was great. These sticks didn't do anything. They just allowed themselves to be in the hands of the person who was doing the drumming. And when you allow God to do things through you, it's not you, it's that you're just letting God do it through you. And I'm telling you that as long as we can recognize that it's not me, it's God, but it is me in that I need to react to this. I need to do something. I need to take courage. And if you know that when you step forward, God has your back, God's going to do many things moving you forward to fulfill the ministry God has for you. I'm telling you, there's a fulfillment like you've never felt when you realize you've been born for a purpose. You've been born for something to accomplish, and you begin to make a difference in this world. There is nothing, nothing like that. And you're right into the heart of what Jesus wants, his kingdom. That's why he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'm not sure if I can get that in the right spot. I almost drummed there. That would be awful. I almost forget that I keep checking this, because if I start singing during the worship service, you'll start hearing me, and that'd be a scary thing, because that's not my assignment or my calling. But worship team, if you'd come, prepare to lead us. You find yourself struggling to find meaning and purpose in life. You find yourself struggling with feelings of insignificance. The Lord wants you to know that there are things that only you can accomplish because He made it that way. Maybe you're doing things that you don't even realize because they're not big things in your estimation of things or the way other people see things. But you don't realize sometimes that all the small things that you do are setting up the platform for the big things. Just like that broomstick that needed to be right in alignment in the right spot in order to make sure that capture took place. You do so many things at times that you don't realize the significance that they have. And I want you to know, and Joe, if you would lead us in Cornerstone. This morning, you just don't know. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing. He wants you to know it. He wants to reveal it to you, and you would say, you know, my eyes aren't open. I just can't see. I don't see the needs. I don't see anything that's in me of value. And you're saying, you know, I need my eyes to be open. Well, in the moment as they lead us, I want you, wherever you are, to begin to seek Him, because He wants to show Himself to you. And say, Lord, help me to see. Help me to see what it is that You're calling me to do. Or maybe it's character, positional issues. You're self-centered. Your heart's not really geared towards other people, and you need the Lord's help with that. Maybe there's a humility issue that is at play here. Maybe it's that you have a negative view of your assignments and you need God to help you to see the gift that it is. Maybe it's that you don't have the Holy Spirit really functioning in your life to give you the capacity to move, and that's what you need this morning. But whatever it is, I want to encourage you to seek Him. Take a moment and let Him begin to do a work in your life so that you can move forward and grab a hold of the calling that He has for you and begin to go on this glorious journey, this adventure of chasing after what God has created you to do, destined you to do. Let's seek Him this morning. Yes, Lord, You are Lord of all. Yes, Lord, You are Lord of all. You reign supreme. You are sovereign over all things. And we can trust You, Lord. We can trust You with our finances and our health. We can trust You with our day-to-day lives. We can trust You with our existence, that we're here because You've designed us for things. We can trust You to act and do as You call us to do. We can trust You with that. And we thank You for the ways in which You speak to us through Scripture, through the Spirit, through the body of Christ. We thank You for that. And for a moment, I want to pray with you for those of you who don't know Jesus. Maybe it's not been conveyed to you in an adequate way. This is not just a reaching a destination, though that's the primary focal point. This is a life journey of many amazing things. And though there's bumps at times in the road, the journey of following Christ is none other if you're truly on that journey. And just because you go to church or you're a churchgoer or you're religious doesn't mean you're on this journey. And that's why Jesus, He didn't say to pick up your cross and go to church. Say, pick up your cross and be religious. He said, pick up your cross and follow Me. Because He has a destination for you. And that's what following Jesus is. That's what being a Christian, being saved is following after Jesus. And if you would like to make a commitment to do that this morning, then would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I want to know You in all the fullness. Lord Jesus, I want to follow after You. And so I'm asking right now that You would give me the stamina, the strength, the courage to follow after You with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that as I do that, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Seal me with that promise. And then for those of you that are struggling with what God has for you, who you are in Christ, Lord, I ask that You would reveal that at this moment, that You would begin to open eyes to see the callings that are before us. The calling of God is not unique to the Apostle Paul. It is for all of us. All of us have a call, an assignment to complete. All of us have value because You've placed that in us. I ask that You would help us to see those things. Help us to have a heart that's focused on others. Help us to have a heart that's humble, that recognizes that this is all through God's grace that I have all these things. And enable us, Lord, empower us by the Holy Spirit. Those who are not baptized in, filled with the Holy Spirit, I ask right now that You would fill them with the Holy Spirit. And if you need that infilling of the Holy Spirit, and as we've talked about here before, you may have been baptized once. That doesn't mean you don't need another filling of the Spirit. And when I first received the baptism in the Spirit, I was at home by myself. It doesn't have to be in an altar area, though it can. It doesn't have to be in a church building. The Holy Spirit is everywhere present. And so He is right now where you are. And if you need a filling of the Holy Spirit, then just begin to cry out to Him and seek Him. And Lord, we're asking right now that You begin to fill individuals as they're seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Fill them to overflowing. Lord, it was this baptism that in Acts 1, that you told the disciples to wait for before they fulfilled your mission, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. So begin to fill right now, Lord. Fill your people with the Spirit. And help us, Lord, as we continue throughout our day, throughout this week. Give us wisdom, revelation, insight, boldness. Give us the ability to walk in step with the Spirit and carry out the mission that you have for us. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I want to encourage you that if God is doing something in your life, just begin to testify about that. It's not for us, that's for Jesus. Glorify Jesus in the way he's moving in your life. So you can comment on those videos and express the way that Jesus has touched you. We'd love to hear if you got filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to rejoice with you in that. Because that's, we're doing this for you. We're doing the ministry for you and for Jesus, and we hope that God is doing something. So just comment in those comments and let us know that that's taking place. If you have a prayer request or prayer need, just communicate with us. We'd love to have one of our prayer team members contact you this afternoon to pray for you. And again, the Wednesday night Bible study is available. Just communicate with us if you'd like to join. And next week, we'll continue through Ephesians and see what God has for us. But thank you for being with us, and may you have a wonderful day. God bless you.